Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm waiting for somebody, anybody, to tell me that you had even half the Final Four right in your bracket. Man, you know I frequently talk about history on this show and how much I love history. Well, we've got some pretty incredible history on tap for next weekend at the Final Four in Houston. So much history, as a matter of fact, that I could rattle off a list of nerd alerts, but instead I will sprinkle them in. Suffice it to say that of the four still standing in men's college basketball, we'll talk about the women a little bit too, they're halfway to the Final Four, but in men's college basketball, three first-timers, three programs, three schools who have never been there before. And one that, while a blue blood, has not been to the promised land in nearly a decade. UConn is the only team standing that has any type of experience on this stage, but not this group, right? Not Dean Hurley as the coach, not any of these Huskies, because it was 2014 the last time UConn was in the Final Four, and that was the last time the Huskies won the national title. So they are seeking their sixth national championship in men's college basketball, but not this group. And so we're talking about four, essentially, groups of first-timers. And in addition to that, if you're just looking at seeds, it's the first time since 1979. And the reason we highlight that date is because that's when they started seeding. Okay, so before that, they didn't have seeds, so we couldn't track them. And by we, I don't mean me. I mean the people who were working in the business in the 1970s. First time since seeding began in 1979 that no team higher than a four has made the Final Four. You want Cinderellas? You want underdogs? You want madness? I'm not sure we've ever seen anything like this. No one's even made it to the Elite Eight. That's never happened before. This is stunning. But again, if what you want is the chaos and the confusion and the fresh blood and the underdogs, if what you want is Owls and Aztecs and Huskies, if what you want is something new and something fresh, if what you want is a hurricane, no one really wants a hurricane, but you get what I'm saying. This is the Final Four for you. I think it's great for the sport, but I also think it's a pretty serious indicator of how much the relatively new NIL rules, as well as the transfer portal, have flattened the curve. Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that phrase in so long. I never wanted to hear it again. Have flattened the curve in men's college basketball and really in college sports. Just as one example, Miami has multiple players, I think it's four or five of them, maybe even more, who are making money off the new NIL rules. And we're talking about a couple of players who are making a lot of money. Miami happens to have some very rich boosters. Whether or not you like that rule in college basketball, whether or not you agree with it, the NIL stipulations, meaning that athletes can now make money on their name, image, and likeness. It is not supposed to be pay to play, but obviously there are ways to disguise that and get around that. The incentive is there for athletes when they're being recruited. If coaches can say to them, we already have an NIL deal for you. It's not pay to play. It's pay to endorse. It's pay to promote. But it's still money. The NIL laws, rules, I should say, sorry. The NIL rules and guidelines, plus the transfer portal, which no longer requires that players sit out. They can move freely. Once they transfer, they can play right away. And so because of that, in men's college basketball, in college football, we're seeing more and more of a competitive level playing field. The question I have, and I don't know the answer to this, we will find out next weekend. The question I have is, will this bring more casual fans, more eyeballs, more earballs, since we work in radio? Will it bring more of the casual observer to the table? Or is this the type of Final Four with no major superstars? I mean, let's be fair. If I'm, well, my mom's not a good gauge because she doesn't watch a lot of college basketball. But if we ask a casual fan, in fact, you could say, in your own mind, right now, as I ask the question, you know what's true and what's not. But I would venture a guess that on these four teams still standing, there are no household names. I'm not saying there aren't incredible players. We've got, for instance, Isaiah Wong, who's the ACC Player of the Year. That's a major accomplishment in a conference that big. Marquise Noel of Kansas State, who did lose, of course, in the Elite Eight. Wildcats losing to the Owls of Florida Atlantic. He was becoming a star, but household name? No. You don't have, other than UConn, who has a very large following and who was there 9 years ago. Miami has a major fan base, a massive fan base. It's not typically for college basketball, though the Canes were within a game of the Final Four a year ago. They lost in the Elite Eight. So there's a repeat presence. But you look at these four rosters, and there are probably a lot of people who are watching the Florida Atlantic Owls and the San Diego State Aztecs for the first time this weekend or last weekend. So is it good for attracting casual fans? I don't know. We'll find out. I know the ratings were really good to start the tournament. The general thought process, and again, this could change like everything else has, but the general thought process is that you need blue bloods to attract casual fans. You need the name schools in college basketball. And I'm just going to throw out a few, but you know what I'm talking about. Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA. You need the marquee names to attract the fans, to attract the viewers. I don't know that that's the case. Again, we'll find out. And once the dust has settled on the tournament, we'll know how this tourney stacks up against some in the past. But regardless of whether or not it's attractive to casual observers, this is what we have. No seeds higher than a four, still standing. First time that's ever happened since they began seeding. And three first timers. Your first matchup is Florida Atlantic against San Diego State in the national semifinals. It's going to be really fascinating. It's been that way to this point. Alabama and Houston were the last ones out. Neither one of them surviving to get to the Elite Eight even, to play what would have been today to get to the Final Four next weekend. I know in our family bracket, none of us can even pick up any more points. Like, none of us have any of the teams still standing. And this is just our family bracket, which I think is a dozen of us. Maybe not quite that many, 10 maybe. None of us have any of the teams in the Final Four. That's how off we were. Think about that. That's crazy. If you didn't have any of these teams remaining, you're done with your points. That's it. You're done. Gonzaga probably took out a lot of people. Texas, I think. I might have had Texas in my Final Four. Texas losing after building a 13-point lead on Sunday afternoon. That certainly took out a lot of people. But I would venture a guess that even among the remaining eight, there were probably not a lot of people who had, say, the majority of the schools correct. We have so much to get to. I hope you had a great weekend. My weekend was, in addition to basketball, yard work, taxes, cleaning floors. That's what I did, but I feel very productive. I got my first 3 hours of yard work done on Friday, and it was good to have some fresh air. There was no sunshine by the time I was out there, but it was good to have some fresh air and to get a lot of the old debris cleared out of my flower beds. My lily garden is already growing. Man, those plants are already growing. My rock garden, I just have a little more clearing to do, but it was good. It was good to get out there and get debris in my hair and do yard work for the first time for about 3 hours on Friday. And then Saturday, oh, you guys, wait till I tell you what I did on Saturday morning. You're going to laugh. But Saturday morning through like early lunchtime, I was out. I had plans, very, very sexy plans. Just wait till I tell you. I mean, you wanted to be me on Saturday. I just want you to know. And then on Saturday night, while I was watching basketball, I spent 4 hours on my taxes. And so those are almost done, not quite done. Sunday was basketball. Well, Sunday was church and then basketball and then cleaning floors. And so it was a mixed bag, but this is the last weekend in March. You guys know that? By the time we hit next weekend, think about this. Baseball will be underway because opening day is Thursday. I know I'm yelling, sorry. Opening day is Thursday. And so by this time next week, every single one of our baseball teams will have already played multiple games, barring any crazy weather. I ran into a young woman at church who, well, she works with us during the first service with the kiddos. And she and another guy started talking about the Yankees on and on and on and on and on. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's my March. I can't stop. Anyway, there are people that are already jazzed up for opening day, and I know a lot of you are as well. We'll definitely talk some baseball as we get closer to Thursday. But remember, it's 30 on the 30th, all 30 teams, for the first time in a long time, all 30 teams are opening up on the same day, again, barring weather, which I would suspect we would have some weather. So that's coming up this week. But by this time next week, it'll be April. What? How is this year going so fast already? It's going so fast. We're nearly through the first quarter. So we've got the final few days of March, plenty of madness to keep us company. Opening day, which a lot of people think should be a holiday. The very last games in the NHL and NBA regular seasons. The Masters is just 2 weekends away. Are you ready? I met a 99-year-old golf fan over the weekend. It was pretty funny. She was raving about golf. We got a lot to talk about. So glad that you have reconvened with us on this Sunday night as we usher in a new work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please find me on Twitter, ALOL Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours. Easy to find. YouTube channel as well. I know a lot of you were checking out our latest YouTube video, which I kind of feel like couldn't be more perfect timing. It is about the top postseasons in sports. It's our latest Stairway to Seven episode, top postseasons in sports. And considering what we've just seen over the last 2 weeks, right now, in the heat of the moment, I feel myself thinking, well, nothing's better than March Madness. And yet we gave you some other options. We've also got a little bit of football to sprinkle in this week. You want to know why? Because the NFL can't stand it when you're paying attention to something else. Oh, how timely. The annual owners meetings just happened to take place the week of the Final Four. Oh, which is, that's amazing. And still no Aaron Rodgers news, at least not a consummated trade. We've already got the NFL convention descending on Phoenix, which, you know, was where the Super Bowl took place. And now they're back in Phoenix, not even 2 months later. And when I say they're back, I mean everybody. Coaches, general managers, the commissioner and his office, obviously, the NFL Players Association, all of them. It's essentially, they moved from Phoenix during Super Bowl week to Indianapolis at the beginning of the month or late February, early March for a football convention there. Remember, we heard from all of them. It's become a thing at the combine now that all the coaches and general managers hold press conferences or at the very least make public comments. That's about to happen again. It's been a month, not even a full month, and now they're in Phoenix again about to hold another convention.
And that's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
We're not going to tell you guys this really funny story really quick, and then we'll take our break. We'll get to college hoops. There's a woman who I'm assuming she listens on a regular basis. She hates me. She sends me tweets periodically about how my laugh is ruining the show, which I mean, it may be the case, but I can't do anything about it. She says, I used to understand what you're laughing at. Now I don't even understand, and I just changed the channel. But the fact that she's telling me I laugh too much would seem to contradict this idea that she changes the channel. But Jay, I'm not kidding. She says to me, you laugh too much, which I mean, I'm willing to admit I do laugh a lot, but I don't really know how to fix it.
And that's fine.
I'm offended. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is offended, but this woman,
I'm offended.
I'm going to take a great leap here and assume it's an older woman. I know that sometimes, well, not all older women, but some older women find me a bit much. So I'm going to apologize right now. I mean, when I say sorry, I'm really not sorry, but I am going to apologize right now for the fact that I'm probably going to laugh on this show and the next show and the show after that. Because if I don't laugh, if you don't laugh, if we don't laugh, what is the point of living? Seriously, if you never laugh, you are in a sorry state. You need
really
to find
is.
Some laughter in your life, Aaron Rodgers. You need to find some laughter. Stop being so serious all the time.
How could you possibly say that?
Okay, I've had enough of him already. It's only been like 10 minutes that I've had enough of him already.
And that's fine.
Stop it. See, it's Jay's fault. It's not my fault. She hates me. She hates my laugh. That's it. This other guy, too, is really funny. Every week, he sends me another tweet. Like, it's essentially, he cuts and pastes the tweet, I swear it, about how all I do is talk about football. I never talk about anything else. He's like, hey, did you know there's college basketball going on?
No, I missed it.
Did you know there's NBA and NHL? Did you know it's almost baseball opening day? He, like, maybe amends a few words every week, but it's the same tweet every week. Do you think people just, well, first of all, they don't know if I read these things, right? Because I don't respond. I don't respond to trolls. I'm past that phase in my career. I no longer respond to trolls. But I just think it's really funny that they're persistent. They just send the same tweets like every couple weeks.
Yeah, if anything, consistency, right?
Which, again, means they're still listening. Like, you can tell me that you have tuned out, but if you're still complaining, you know? If you're still keeping tabs, and that's why I say a lot of times the audience is divided up into a few different groups. One of those groups are people who hate me and they just keep listening because it fuels their anger. That's how they keep themselves going. It's
totally fine.
It's an obsession and it's totally fine. We're totally fine with that. When we're calling him Bob, right? Bob is my friend. We're calling him Bob, my friend. And Bob heard me say it was fine on the phone and was like, uh-oh.
It's not fine.
It's not fine.
Well, that's good. He knows early.
Bob. Hi, Bob. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Puts it on the deck on a bounce, trying to hit a cutting Milliner. Hits the leg of Timmy Allen in a turnover. Marcus Carr up the floor, on the break, driving into the paint, floats it over the front of the rim and in. And a timeout used by Miami. Texas has opened up its largest lead of the ballgame. 43-35, 40.9 seconds remaining until halftime.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is a lot of fun to see some of your reaction to this weekend and what we're left with. And I think it should be extremely competitive. We have some great personalities. Man, we have some coaches that have been there before, which is awesome. But what we don't have are a lot of blue bloods. And so to see your tweets now, A-Law Radio, is pretty incredible. The fact that, yeah, we're all kind of in the same boat where we're, you know, we are not earning any more points over the final four. So if you're like me or producer Jay, you have nothing, right? You're done.
Done.
Right. So Jay had all four of his final four going into Sweet 16 weekend or Sweet 16 Thursday and made it to when? Saturday? Because Gonzaga was your last one, right?
Yeah, Gonzaga was my last one. Yeah, that was my last hope.
So when Gonzaga lost on Saturday, Jay had lost all of his final four. My last one was Houston. So I had Houston in the final four, but that was obviously done on Friday. So he swears that I beat him in the pool, and I just don't think that's the case. I don't think it's possible. I only had two of my remaining Final Four. You at least got them to the Sweet 16.
But you had been beating me, right? You had more points because you had a better...
Right, I had more points, but I had a lower ceiling. Like, you could have gotten more points than me, where I had a much lower cap than you.
Right, but all my teams lost.
But not in the Sweet 16, though. You had two that survived. You had Kansas State and Gonzaga that both survived to...
Did we
check
the score? Was that before that
first
Kansas
State game? We
checked
before Sweet 16.
Okay, so it's possible I did pull ahead, but I think it's closer than you think.
Either way, close doesn't count, so the bet doesn't come down to close. It comes down to who won. So, speaking of winning, you hear Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, and the Texas Longhorns appeared to be winning. They go up 13 points in the second half. They had a nice lead at halftime. They had found a rhythm. They'd found a groove. But Miami has got some veteran players. Now, remember, Miami was stopped short of the Final Four a year ago. So a bunch of these guys had played to this level, or played to this round, I should say, just 12 months ago.
Bishop in the right block. Back out it goes to Hunter. Three on the right wing. Short rebound, Omir. Long pass ahead. Pack. Cherry picking on the other end. Layup good. Two-point game. 72-70. We've got 6:06 to Houston. Long with 13 to shoot. Zibling on the left side. Omir sets the screen. Long bump. Lobbing underneath for Omir to the rim. Lays it up. Good. And a foul. We're tied at 72. Norchad Omir feathers it in for the tie and a chance for the lead at the line. Long, a little crossover, dribbles into the paint, forces up the shot, it drops. The Wooden Award finalist showing why he's on the list, tying the game at 75.
Isaiah Wong had 12 of his 14 points in the second half, so Miami had some big-time closers, and it was a perfect game for one Jordan Miller, and I do mean that quite literally. It was a perfect offensive game for Jordan Miller. I'll explain coming up. There was a controversial moment with the game tied at 79.
On the back iron, O'Meara trying for the rebound, and a foul is called. It's going the other way. If it's on O'Meara, which it is, it's his fifth. He has fouled out with 1 minute to go. The officials now are huddling. Let's see here. Are they going to change this? There's a huddle. No, it's going the other way. But I don't know if it's on O'Meara. Looked like he signaled Cunningham's number. And now Rodney Terry is upset. I believe he is signaling for Cunningham, who undercut O'Meara going for the rebound. And free throws for O'Meara, so he's not out of the game. Well, it's Cunningham's foul.
I could not disagree with this call anymore. I mean, Brock Cunningham is blocking out well before O'Meara had left his feet. And then he jumps. Brock Cunningham's just blocking out. There have been some questionable calls here today, but I'm not sure any bigger or any worse than what we just saw right there.
O'Meara at the line. Free throw is good. 80-79. Miami by one. What a call.
That is Kevin Kugler along with his partner Robbie Hummel on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. If you haven't seen the video, this is what happens. And it's a judgment call. I happen to disagree with it being overturned. Cunningham, who is the big for Texas, is boxing out. He's boxing out and he's essentially pushing backwards. So he's not using his arms. He's using his butt. He's using his hips. He's using his base, his strength in his bottom half. And he's pushing Norchad O'Meara away from the hoop. He's creating space. That's what he's doing. That's textbook boxing out. O'Meara jumps over the top of him, creates contact, which in my opinion is a classic over the back call, which is what it was called originally. And then it was overturned and the call became Cunningham's foul. And again, I couldn't disagree more. This is not why the Longhorns lost. The Longhorns had a 13-point lead with, 13 minutes to go. They had a 13-point lead in the second half and they lost. Miller and Wong and Nigel Pack and Norchad O'Meara. I mean, these Miami veterans showed up, and some of them are transfers from other places. This is a veteran group. It's a poised group. We've seen that over and over. We've seen Miami rally in other games in this tournament alone. That particular call, though, at that juncture with the game tied at 79, if that's not how you're supposed to box out, again, not using hands, not clutching, not grabbing, but Cunningham backing up, clearing space, essentially sealing your mark, sealing the offensive player behind you so that you have space then to step up and grab the rebound. It looked like textbook rebounding, textbook boxing out to me. I shouldn't say rebound. Boxing out is an art in and of itself. It's a lost art. It's something I made a living on doing when I played college basketball because I wasn't the tallest on the floor. I just was the strongest. And so I would get low. I would use my strength in my bottom half. You make yourself big and you push. You push backward and you push the offensive player out of the lane. So if you don't get the ball, one of your teammates does. The theory is that all five are boxing out. You all have the offensive players behind you, and so someone on your team is able to get the rebound. Again, it looked like textbook box out to me. And that's initially what it was called, is that O'Meara was over the back. That's not why the Canes won. I just didn't love that call. And between that and the end of the Creighton game, there were two very high-profile calls, foul calls, that got a lot of attention. Regardless, As I mentioned, the Canes surge in the second half. Jordan Miller, 27 points in what was a perfect effort. 7 of 7 from the field, 13 of 13 from the free throw line. That is clutch. The way that they rallied, the way that they held the Longhorns at bay in the second half. I mean, it's a combination here. The Texas defense failed in the second half. To give up 51 points in the second half of a college basketball game is enormous. And so the Texas defense did not toe the line. But give credit to Miami, because once they found their groove, they were relentless. They didn't stop.
What I'm most proud of is the will and the togetherness of this team. I don't think we've been down that much at a halftime since in a very long time.
I know how much, you know, these guys wanted to win this game, especially being here last year and, you know, them losing in the Elite Eight. And now be able to make it to the Final Four for the first time in program history is something special.
I told the guys at halftime, hey, this is very much like the Kansas game. We're behind. They came out and took control of the game, and that's what we need to do. And even though it took us a little longer to do it, if you watch the last 10 minutes of the game, our defense, our rebounding, our scoring is just at such a high level.
So after Texas goes up 13 early in the second half, the Hurricanes come roaring back. It is the first Final Four for Miami, but they were at this point a year ago and felt the agony of defeat. So congratulations to Jim Larrañaga. That's what he told us. That's what he said, even though he has heard people pronounce it Larrañaga for years. I've actually gotten into the practice now of calling him Jim Larrañaga. So congratulations to him. He has been to the Final Four in the past. You may remember he was there with George Mason 17 years ago Sunday. Exactly 17 years ago Sunday, he was the head coach of George Mason, who was an 11 seed that got to the Final Four. And if you were with us last week, what day did we talk to him? We talked to him after Selection Sunday, right? So actually we talked to him on that Monday was when we spoke to Coach Larrañaga. And he pointed out that it's possible. Anything's possible because he had gone with George Mason. I remember that very well. So this is his second Final Four with two different schools. He is definitely a sentimental favorite. He's the elder statesman among these coaches and has such an incredible track record. There are going to be a lot of people pulling for Miami because of Coach. But there are some other really good stories. Speaking of coaches, Rodney Terry has been the interim coach at Texas from the point at which he took over for Chris Beard. We have a decision from UT after the loss on Sunday, so we'll hear from the Texas contingent. But yes, congratulations to Jordan Miller and Nigel Pack and Isaiah Wong. It took them 12 months, but they finally got over the hump. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad you liked the video. It's up on our YouTube channel. And I am amused only because my bracket is, well, it was a mess a long time ago, but I'm amused by some of your stories about going into this weekend and what you thought you had and how you thought you had it nailed and pegged.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Seconds, 1 second, Carr long three, no good, down 13 in the second half, the Hurricanes storm all the way back, and for the first time in school history, Miami is going to the Final Four, 88-81, Miami knocks off Texas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Kugler with the call on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. And then there were four. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, the Texas Longhorns had a 13-point lead early in the second half. before Miami found a groove and was so aggressive. You watch the late stages of this game, the relentless attacking style. And not just that, but using Texas mistakes, using them against the Longhorn. So pretty impressive to see what felt like this wave, a hurricane that produced a wave, and it knocked Texas over. 51 points in the second half. Everything was going right. And then Jordan Miller with 27 points in what was a perfect effort. He did not lose. He didn't miss at any point in this game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Rodney Terry is no longer the interim head coach. Texas has confirmed that he is now the, I don't want to say permanent because nothing's permanent in sports, but he is the head coach, interim tag removed following what was an incredible run to the Elite Eight. And he reflects on how the Hurricanes really found their footing.
Miami really started trying to get downhill. They just started kind of putting their heads down, going one-on-one a little bit, trying to spread us out, and really did a good job of getting into the paint and getting to the foul line. I mean, they shot and made 28 free throws, you know. We had to give them 32 foul shots. So they did a good job of really, you know, attacking the paint.
Attacking, aggressive. Yeah, you could see it. Miami just took the reins, and that was it. And Texas was left reacting a lot of times and not playing the steady, straight-up defense that could keep Miami out of the paint or force Miami to maybe commit some offensive fouls or into bad shots. Let's see. Timmy Allen ended up with, he actually had a really good start and some big time shots. He ended up with 16 points and 4 rebounds in this loss for Texas.
It just hurts for the brothers next to me that I'm not playing with them no more. That hurts.
Texas continues to be elite. It's an elite school. I'm just proud of this team. I love this team. I love what we did.
That's the voice of Marcus Carr. 17 points for him in this loss. Maybe they're more emotional because sitting next to them is their head coach who almost can't speak as he reflects on the team and the moment after they fall.
I love these guys. And not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm gonna love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn, and you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group, and I'm gonna really miss. I'm really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
So no wonder the players were so emotional. If I'd been sitting next to him, I would have started crying myself. That is a leader, a man who's not only investing in his athletes as basketball players, but he's investing in them as people, right? As young men who have been entrusted to his care in some way, shape, or form by their parents, by their families. Again, the news that we heard a couple hours later is that Terry is offered the Longhorns permanent head coaching position. This is according to Horns 24/7 Sports. So it's a website dedicated to Texas Longhorns athletics. And that, assuming Terry agrees, then he could be named publicly as early as Tuesday. But they've got to be thrilled with what he did in taking over for Chris Beard, who you remember was fired after allegations of domestic violence. Now, those were later retracted, and there were no charges, or the charges were dropped. But Terry led the Horns to a Big 12 tournament and back to the Elite Eight. But on this night, Miami is the team still standing in that region. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, top of the hour, we'll get to, I don't know that it was controversial, but we'll get to what was a lightning rod of an ending for Creighton and San Diego State, because once again, it was a foul and people want to fixate. It happens in the NFL. It happens in the NBA. People want to fixate on one moment in time when it never comes down to that. So we will get to that. But in case you missed what happened on Saturday evening between UConn and Gonzaga, oy.
Other dribbles across the timeline, heads over on the left, stops there, gets it up top to Greg. Greg looks at Malachi Smith, finds him on the right wing. Smith driving into the paint, lays it up. Blocked by Sanogo up off the glass. Rebound picked up off the deck by Newton. On the run, two on two. Left side, Calcaterra. Reverse layup for the right is good. Joey Calcaterra with his first bucket. 7 seconds to go. Sanogo sets the screen. Newton picks up his dribble. Double team, bouncing into the paint. Grabbed by Jackson. Right wing, Caravan three is up and in. And that will bring us to the end of the first half. 49-34, Connecticut, their largest lead. It's 10-2 here in the second half. Watson will hand it off to Strother. Strother with it top of the key. Picks up his dribble. Bounces to Watson. Mid-post on the left. Watson starts to back in against Sanogo. Throws it out to Smith. Deflected. Stolen by Alim. On the run with Hawkins. Alim to the bucket. Lays it up. And one. Naheem Alim goes end to end. And he'll have a chance for a three-point play. This one is slipping away from Gonzaga.
What a performance by the boys. I mean, to do what we did to a team of that caliber, a program of that caliber. Obviously, we were just playing at a super high level. But we're not. I don't think we're obviously surprised by the margin of victory, but not surprised about where we're going next, because this is who we've been for a large part of the season.
UConn was just terrific tonight, and we didn't have any answers, especially when kind of everything really didn't bounce our way, and we can't absorb a game like that when our offense is as bad as it was tonight. But again, UConn deserves credit.
It definitely was bad, as you hear Mark Few just kind of lay it out there. What have we talked about with Gonzaga until this Elite Eight game? They had been a second-half team. This was their MO. They were better in the second half than they were in the first, but they never found their footing in the second half. Get this, shot 7 of 29 in the second half. They were fighting, scratching, clawing, but could not come up with any type of a rhythm. Drew Timmy had to sit early in the second half because of foul trouble, which then led to more of an avalanche. They go 2 of 20 from beyond the arc. So their shooting woes is the worst possible time to have your worst shooting game of the year, but that's exactly what happened. So we'll hear more from Gonzaga as well as from UConn. But as you hear with Ryan Radke on the Westwood One NCAA radio network, this got out of hand very quickly. UConn hit another gear and outscored Gonzaga by 21 points in the second half. Outscored them by 21 in the second half. They actually built a 23-point lead. So on a Saturday night, there were not a whole lot of people that were still watching that basketball game in the late stages. This one came from Vegas. By the way, if you're looking for a piece of trivia, the UConn Huskies are 8-1 in Final Four games. Ooh, it's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified Merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane.